Morning.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the honourable members and our guests. Chairperson, we received the following apologies. From the Portfolio Committee, we received apologies from Honourable Sibiya. Honourable Sibiya is attending the Committee on Sports, Arts and Culture. We also received an apology from Honourable Kahau. Honourable Kahau is out of the country. We also received from the ministry. We received apologies from the minister who's currently abroad. Chairperson also received an apology from the DG. The DG is attending a meeting with the sitters. So those are the apologies that we received, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Anele. I see Didi Gizmo on the platform. Welcome, Didi Gizmo. I think you'd like to share something with us.
Yes.
Recording in progress.
Honorable members and the colleagues from the department. May I also send an apology, Chair, that I'm also en route to Grahamstown. The minister asked that I attend a meeting on SPF, so I might not stay for the entire session. But the branch is represented by Mrs. Sondi this morning. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, DDG. So, colleagues, you'll pardon me. I do have a bit of a cold, so I don't sound like I usually do, and apologies for that. Honourable members and colleagues, we have had a series of engagements of the Portfolio Committee with the Department of Higher Education and Training, as well as together with various stakeholders. I think our first state of readiness meeting was towards the end of last year, where we had the Department, USAF, SAFETSA, SAUS, NASFIS, trying to get a sense of how, sorry, actually, we would have had USAF and SACPO and the department and NASFIS in that meeting. And what we were trying to get a sense of in that meeting is our state of readiness as a sector for the academic year 2023. We then embarked on a two-week-long oversight period where we visited institutions of higher learning in KwaZulu-Natal, in Limpopo, and in Mpumalanga. I think out of the institutions that we visited and colleagues in the research unit as well as in the secretariat will assist me, but I think we visited UniZulu and there was a little bit of unrest there. We then visited, well, post our visit, there would have been a bit of unrest. Can I please ask to be made a co-host, Anele? We visited Umfolozi, TVET College, and I think out of that, there was a protest on water. Those are issues we were alerted of as a committee when we went there, that there are issues that are in the community that have a direct impact on our institutions. But we also witnessed there that there were not so great stakeholder relations. We then go to Limpopo, where we visited Capricorn TVET College. And at Capricorn TVET College, I think we left there with an understanding that we should have a smooth start to the academic year. Of course, taking into consideration these overarching matters that are not institution specific, but speak to the sector at large, which by and large speak to NASFAS and speak to access in terms of our institutions having the capacity to take the amount of young people who want to go into post-school education and training. And there at Capricorn, we've seen that at the Sesheho, Capricorn TVET College, we've seen that at the Sesheho campus, There's been unrest. And then I think I can leave Limpopo. Then Mpumalanga, I think there was a memorandum of demands that was submitted to the college at Ehlanzeni. I have not seen particular activities at the University of Mpumalanga. So colleagues, I'm just trying to say that from the institutions that we managed to visit as a committee, and what we have seen, in terms of student protest or student action, there has been some institutions where we visited where there have been activities post our visit. There are other institutions, colleagues, where generally in the sector we've seen some unrest. We've seen unrest at NMU. We've seen unrest at UWC. We know there are challenges at CPUT. We've seen that there are challenges at Stellenbosch. We've seen that there are challenges at the University of Johannesburg, challenges at UKZN, challenges at Wit University, challenges at the University of Pretoria, challenges at Sobleki University. And those are the ones that I can sort of think of from the top of my head. There are many others that I'm leaving out. And that is why we felt it was important for us to engage with stakeholders, for them to give us a sense of what exactly is happening, and us as a committee to be able to hold the department, to hold principals, to hold vice-chancellors to account, and also, most importantly, to make recommendations that can help the sector to move forward. We also received an update by the department this year after our oversight visit on the state of readiness for this academic year. I think a week or two ago. It would not have been last week, but it would have been the week before, so 2 weeks ago. So we have been trying our best not to interfere with the work of the department, the executive, with the work of senior management of both colleges and universities, to allow the sector to do its work, to implement. I mean, there's a huge sentiment that if we're all of accounting, at what point do we actually go and implement? And I think we've afforded the sector space and time to go and do what they have to do. But we cannot, when we see that these challenges are ongoing, allow ourselves to be in a situation where we don't have our finger on the pulse of the issues in the sector. And so we want to also assist. Maybe Honorable Litsie use the term VAR approach, which I know that the Deputy Minister says if we want to apply that approach, then we must change legislation. But I think what Honorable Litsie often speaks to is covered by the sentiment of having an activist parliament. So that is what Honorable Members brings us to this meeting this morning. We want to hear from students what exactly are the issues, not secondhand from media. We've tried to follow media, some of the statements that have been released by various SRCs as well as by South and SACFETSA, but we want to hear from students. Tomorrow we'll be meeting with the department. We were supposed to, Honorable Members, get a briefing on work and progress in terms of the NSF, but we felt that it was important for us to get a sense of what is happening in the sector and be able to provide recommendations, most importantly, to ensure that we are able to address the immediate challenges to access and to the start of the academic year 2023. With that being said, we have invited SACFETSA and SAUS to represent the two sectors, so to represent SACFETSA representing our TVET colleges and SAUS representing universities. I'd like to also take this opportunity to welcome the new leadership of SACFETSA. President Genius Shabalala, welcome to the sector as the president. You're not new to the sector as a student activist, but in terms of your role now as the president of SAFETA, welcome to you and your collective. We are also hoping that you'll be able to just highlight before you start your executive of SAFETA, so that we're just familiar with some of your colleagues. But welcome to yourselves, and we as a committee wish you the absolute best in your term as the president, together with your collective. We, unless you have been previewed to our meetings and the work that we do as a committee, but you will learn that the committee is absolutely committed to advancing technical vocational education and training. And we've done a lot of work in trying to understand the sector and trying to understand what the demands are for the sector and how do we as a committee advocate for the required and requisite resources for the TVET program to be able to fulfill its mandate. We have over time, DDG Zulu, you know, advocated for an increased budget for TVETs. We have over time advocated for greater infrastructure support for TVETs, advocated for financial management support for TVETs, advocated for more lecturers, the more lecturers, but also the capacitation of lecturers. We have advocated for bringing about equity between the TVET program and the university program, particularly when we also speak to allowances. I think one of the first things Honorable Ipia started saying in 2019 when we came into this committee was that there's no difference between the price of bread for a TVET student and a university student. There's no difference in the price of accommodation for a TVET student and a university student, in the price of transport and many other basic necessities that every student in the system would need. And so we really also want to see an advancement of the TVET curriculum for it to really be able to respond to the socioeconomic demands of our country. So in terms of curriculum review, we have tried our best to really monitor at what pace the department is able to implement its own plans on curriculum review, and ensuring that when we, for example, have a skills summit and look into what skills are needed for the economy, that are responsive to the economy, that are responsive to the social collisions of our society, at making sure that when those discussions happen, they do find expression in the planning of the department, so that it's not just a talk show, you know, because I think it takes a lot of money to host all these conferences and summits that we have, but to ensure that those recommendations that come out of that find expression in the planning of the department. We've done a lot of work as a committee in terms of the certification backlog. When we got here, Honorable Ipia will actually be able to give us the stats better, but I'm sure the research unit of the committee as well. But when we got into the committee, the backlog was quite massive in terms of certification. And we as a committee called for what we call the certification day zero of the certification backlog. And great strides have been made in that regard. But of course, we'll continue to advocate for a literal zero, DDG Zoom. I know some of the cases that you have I guess I don't know if you want to call them legacy cases, but they are cases where you can't find the student anymore, you just can't trace them, right? We really want to ensure that young people in our country are able to get their certificates so that they can go into the economy and be active participants and contribute to the livelihood of their families and their community. So there's a lot of work, President Shabalala, that we are doing as a committee in wanting to see the TVET College fulfill what it is meant to. I'm not going to say as much to colleagues themselves, because that leadership is, I was about to say old, but no, that leadership has been interacting with us for some time, and we know that they are due to go to conference soon. But so welcome, President Tshabalala and your team, and we wish you the utmost best as the committee. At this point, colleagues, I will hand over to President Tshabalala of SADFETSA to then take us through the presentation of SADFETSA to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hlalo, and my audible colleagues.
You are, President.
Thank you so much. Good morning, colleagues. My name is indeed Genius Tshabalala from Mpumalanga.
I'm aware that you have load shedding where you are. Do you think it would be possible at some point to open your camera so that colleagues and citizens who are watching on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter are able to just see who represents students in the TVET sector?
Okay, let me just try, make sure the camera is forward. I'm using a desktop, so I don't know how to do this.
You can continue and make your opening remarks in, at a later stage, because I see your camera is also not enabled at all here on the platform. Then we'll come back to you once you've sorted that out.
Okay, no problem. Thank you so much, Hlalo. Some of the things that we are actually facing, it might be the NSFAS issue, but moreover, NSFAS must also induct its people in terms of the guidelines, as more especially those who are working on campuses to interpret what is written on the guidelines, because some of these protests that are happening in our TVET colleges are based on the interpretation and the misunderstanding of the NSFAS guidelines. Anyways, what I was here to present, I think it is the TVET colleges that are affected together with their campuses and the provinces. And then we will find an amicable solution once you get a full report from these colleges and regions alike. So colleagues, I am accompanied by the Secretary General, Mr. Wangane Mkwali, who is from Follows the Tibet College, and provincial chairpersons of SADFETSA from each province, which I would take time if ever I can name them one by one. But in any case, colleagues, in the Eastern Cape, we have King Sabah Tatarenji Abo Tibet College. The college is affected by the following campuses: Mtata Campus, Libond, and Mkazi Campus. The letters are on strike. The main issue is the corporate service related teaching and learning is not taking place. Thank you. Thank you so much about that. Yes, there was a meeting between the union and the acting principal, which unfortunately deadlocked. Another management
meeting. Sorry, President, let me work on the presentation first. Let's just make sure. Can I ask who's sharing? Is it the committee? Is it you, Anele?
Yes, Chair, but I'm just trying to make sure that the whole, if I'm trying to put it I'm trying to make it on the reading mode, it doesn't appear the whole, because
okay.
It's a PDF.
Let's escape again, let's see.
I'm just stop sharing.
Apologies, colleagues, we're just trying to make sure that we can also see the presentation.
Okay.
So if you try and share again, then we go to the settings there. I can try and assist.
Okay, Chair. Can you see that?
We can't see anything. You're not sharing.
Let me just try to share again.
Has this document been circulated to members?
Yeah, I sent to members. I got it this morning. Right now.
Okay, I see it.
Yeah, so the other columns apparently all.
Okay, can I ask something? Sorry. Do we have the Word version of this document? President, do we have a Word version of this document? Because it's actually cut out from the saving, so it actually isn't a sharing challenge, it's a how the document was saved challenge. So if President has a Word version of the document, we can slide that.
I'm still asking Nopala, sorry, Chair.
No worries. Colleagues, if we can just be a bit patient until we get the Word version, and then I think it should be more visible.
Yes, sorry, Chair. I've just asked Unopala to send the Word version to the Secretary of Parliament, yes.
Okay, so let's continue. Maybe what you can do while they are sending that version, if you can just take us through a bit your NEC. So just when you were elected, the composition of your NEC,
okay.
And then maybe allow the provincial chairperson to introduce themselves if they are on the platform.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. We were actually elected on the 5th of February 2023 in Elangeni Tivet College that is situated in Pinetown. Yes, of course, I was elected as president. And then the deputy president is Gauhelo Choke, who's from Capricorn.
You can also share gender as you introduce each.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. As I am a male president, and then the deputy president is female, Gauhelo Choke, who is handicapped from Capricorn Tivet College. Then there's Muonganu Mkwalu, who's a male, who is from Mvolozi Tivet College. And then we have the deputy secretary general, who is Mbulelo Gobo, who is from Urban Tivet College. Then there's Tabelo Mfokeng, who's the treasurer general, who's a male, who's from Motheo Tivet College. Then there's student funding, who is Kilobohil Oliphant from Vuselela Tivet College, who's a female. And then there's gender and disability officer, which is Ntabi Singh Mtagani, who is from Kuruleni West Tivet College. And then there's sports, arts and culture, who's Savano. Savano is from the College of Cape Town, who is a male. And then his policy development, that is Relebohile. Policy development is from Maloti Tivet College. And then there is wellness and campus safety, which is Masego Poisons, who is a female, who is from a rural Tivet College. So I would like also
to have to ask both provincial chairperson to introduce themselves and the provinces where they come from, if you would allow me, Chair. Chairperson, are you still there?
Sorry, I was trying to navigate the different documents and stuff. Sorry about that. Yes, you may continue introducing the different, each chair can introduce themselves if they are on the platform.
Yes, I was asking that through you, Chair, that the chairpersons may introduce themselves and their provinces.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Chairperson of the session. My name is Amgelo Mgwena from Gauteng, from Southwest Gauteng Tibet College. Thank you.
Thank you so much, President. My name is Lerato Tsotsitsi from Mpumalanga, Kirsty Band, Tibet College.
Morning, everyone. My name is Sibusiso, Chairperson of the Western Cape from College of Cape Town. Thank you.
Okay, as President, I think those are all the chairpersons of provinces that we have in the meeting. Okay, I believe those are.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mashilo David, Chairperson of Limpopo from Waterberg Tibet College.
Okay, any other chairpersons on the platform? Okay, I believe those are all the chairpersons that we have on the platform. Welcome to you all, colleagues. Thank you, President. I think we can go back to you. Anele, have we been able to sort out the presentation?
Yes, Chair. I just changed into landscape.
Okay, and then I think there should be a mode that allows us to view it without everything else. If you just give me a second, I should. Okay, I think if you press focus at the bottom, it should allow us just to see the presentation and nothing else. No, not that one. Try the one next to it. Not that one either. Please try the last one. Okay, all right. No, it's fine. Just keep it on the normal one. We'll work with it. Thanks, Anil. Over to you, President.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for affording me the opportunity again. I would continue with my presentation. Then I was in the Eastern Cape. I started with the Eastern Cape. So most of their strikes are funding related. And then, yes, of course, the matter is in progress in terms of meeting the resolution. Can you go down a bit, Nopala? So that I continue with the other province. So in Buffalo City, in Buffalo City, as I was saying in my opening remarks, that most of these protests are not a student per se to say they are looking for student allowances, but it's on the basis that the interpretation of the guidelines it was the communication. There was a communication breakdown between the staff and ASFAS officials and the students, the populace. So they are still on. Those talks are still ongoing, and I believe that the intervention must come from ASFAS to go and induct the office of the NSFA, of the financial aid on campuses, so that they are able and they're empowered to say, when you speak to students or when you present these things to students, they must be able to understand it in the simplest of English. Even if you can interpret it from English to Zulu, Xhosa, in the best way possible that a student may understand. Can it go down, colleagues? And then in the Western Cape, then there's a West Coast TVET College. Yes, of course, there's a process in Frendendal. And then there's KwaZulu Natal. Then there's Tekwin TVET College, Asha Campus. Then there's Mandeni Campus, which is part of Tekwin TVET College. Then there's West Coast in Gauteng TVET College. Then there's Delaware leadership. And then there's Maluti TVET College, which is situated from the Free State. Then there's Tshwane North, which is from Gauteng. Then in Limpopo, there's Capricorn and Seshego campus. Then the Waterberg is in Limpopo as well. And then these are the campuses that are listed. And then in Mpumalanga, in Gersbande, we were disturbed by yesterday, actually, by Nehau, which is still ongoing in other campuses, but other campuses, there's peace for now. So we'll still get to management as to say, what is it that they are looking for, so that we can swiftly move forward with the business of the day, which is teaching and learning. So the delay of allowances, these are the current issues that are faced by students. It's the delay of allowances, the pending results, the delay of banking cards, the delay on appeals, issues of backup generators for computer labs, the misinterpretations of guidelines. This is very sad, the one of misinterpretation of the guidelines, that we can stop teaching and learning based on the misinterpretation of the guidelines. That's it. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, President. I would like to check if there's anyone else who would like to share the SG. And then maybe the chairpersons of the different provinces, if there's anything else that you'd like to add to the president's input.
Thanks, Chair. Indeed, my name is Wongani Mkwang, the Secretary General of SAFESA. Most of the things that the president has said it in the presentation, but you know, the reality is that, Chair, the students, they are really frustrated. I won't speak much about the protest of Nahau, but when it comes to campuses, the students, they are very frustrated a lot on the delay of allowances. You know, there are students that are getting money, and then there are students which they are actually getting nothing, and they don't know what's happening. The issue of statuses when it comes to NSFAS, some students, the statuses are not changing, and some students, the statuses are changing. But there are some students who really are not getting anything on their statuses. The delays on appeals, it's really frustrating students. It's one point that is causing the strike in institutions. We have many campuses. I just said that there is a strike that started yesterday at Tekwin College just because of appeals. The strike at Buffalo City, which the college management is misinterpreting the guidelines when it comes to the issue of students, which did not pass last year, but this year they did pass, and they believe that those students should not be funded. Those are issues that should not cause that many problems when it comes to the sector, Chairperson. But it's really an issue. I just wish that we can find a solution together with NSFAS and the department to address these small issues. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, SG. Can I check from the provincial chairpersons who are on the platform if there are any inputs from them? Let's see. Okay, I don't see any hands from the provincial chairpersons. All right, then that brings us to the end of our inputs from Safetsa. Can I check if South is settled? I know the president and the SG were traveling to Mthatha, so I'm not sure if they are settled yet. Mr. Asive, I think I saw you on the platform.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the colleagues. Yes, I'm settled.
Yes, settled.
I will be talking through the points, Chair. I won't be sharing anything on the screen.
Okay, we would ask though, like throughout the course of the day, if you can kindly please send us the presentation. It just makes it much more easier for us to be able to follow up on these concerns with the department.
Not definitely. So, you know, I've never come here in Janet. It's my first time because of the, you know, moving around.
I'm concerned. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You may continue, colleagues.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good morning to you and the entire portfolio committee team. I see there are also reps from the department. I also want to greet our sister union colleagues, Comrade President Tshabalala and Comrade Bongani, and the delegation that accompanies them. I won't be very long, Chair. I won't be very long. I will just give you an update on a very high level, so that you can have an idea of what is happening in the industry sector. Maybe just to start, Chair, with the key main issues that we have identified as South to be the major problem in the sector. Number one is the progression rule by NSFAS. If you would recall, last year, we had a back and forth discussion around the issue of the progression rule. As a result, we reached a point to say that let's remain on 50%. But something then happens when they were sharing the guidelines. There was a table that was misleading the institution, which was giving the numbers of the modules that one must pass, which were not inconsistent with what we've agreed. So now, we are finding ourselves in that particular predicament now, to a point where about 60,000 students are affected in this registration period. And we've raised this...
Can you repeat that figure, please? How many students are affected?
And as I'm telling with you, we were speaking with NSFAS yesterday, and we've agreed on this matter. And the only thing that they are waiting for is the concurrence from the minister, which we are waiting for it. It might be received between today or tomorrow, because as we've agreed the study, they said in less than in 2 days' time, that concurrence should come. So that's where we are on the concurrence, on the progression rule, Chair. On the issue of the appeals, Chair, from our meetings, the CEO of NSFAS has indicated to us that the team has started to work on the appeals. Well, as you might be aware, that there is an independent tribunal that was also established as the guidelines, which was pushed by South, say that we must have an independent tribunal. So that tribunal only works on the rejected appeals, meaning and students who were probably appealing for the second time, or students who might have been affected because of major cases such as, you know, different issues which are not being listed in the guidelines and so on and so forth. But for the first time entering students, their appeals are being processed. And for those who are straightforward, their appeals are being processed. But the major ones will be dealing with the independent tribunal, which will be sitting this coming Friday and Saturday. So in terms of the appeals, that is where we are, Chair. In that appeals tribunal, we sit as South and Safeta, our seven seats. There's a rep from USAF, there's a rep from Tihet, and then there's chaired by the independent chair outside of Masters. Also, on the issue of allowance chair, I'm sure you would recall when we met at Masters, you were also doing your own oversight. The reason we were there, it was around this issue of allowances and mainly also the progression. We had agreed on the issue of allowances, and even the minister announced in the joint statement that we attended the 150 increase for all the living allowances. But now, when we said NASFAS, but the minister pronounced this publicly, even on the media press. But now the NASFAS says, yes, that's me. The increase is there, but now we must be given something written by the minister, of which is going to be part of that progression rule concurrence. Two things have been submitted for the concurrence, because according to NASFAS, we say they can't just pay based on what is pronounced by the mouth without being turned down, because on their side, it's going to be what is called an irregular expenditure. So as far as we're concerned, in terms of the increase, that's where we are. And one of the famous topics in this particular registration period is the cap. I think on this one, Chair, I think we are not moved by anything on this one. We support the cap. By the way, the cap was proposed by us to say that it can be correct that students are being exploited, not only by accommodation providers, but also exploited by their own institutions. And we're not saying anything. So the issue of the cap, Chair, we support the issue of the 45,000. I am aware that in VET, the strike is around this issue of 45,000. I'm very aware that the university, the university supports us. And the only issue that there are those who are committed to accommodation providers to ensure that this 45,000 budget fight. When the university, we have engaged them, the university is supporting this cap. There is no issue with this cap. Now, maybe, Chair, you want to know about strikes that are currently underway. The only institutions that which are on strike, as you know, it's that and UKZN. For example, to communicate this platform, Chair, that it came to our attention in the evening yesterday that the president of the SRC of Fed has been suspended. Because of the ongoing protests, I've deployed the team from South, led by the deputy president, to go and engage the BETFRC together with the management. But also from South, we'll be writing formally to the VC. We'll copy you, Chair, and we'll copy the teachers, because this phenomena of just suspending student leaders when they raise their own genuine concerns is a problem. And we've been raising. And I have raised a number of times in the portfolio committee with the head in all the engagements, because if you look at the demands that have been raised by our colleagues at VETS, those are the issues which are institutional in particular. And if the management has an appetite of resolving them, should be sitting down and engage a number of ways in terms of how they go about ensuring that there is no students being affected. For instance, the issue of the 150 students who are owed more than 150, they're not allowed to register. The issue of the 10,000 upfront payment for residents. I mean, Chair, I'm saying these are the genuine issues which the SRC has been raising. And it's something that we must be able to support them so that they are not being victimized because of the genuine student struggle that they are raising within their institutions. But we've also been aware that in UKZN, two student leaders are still in custody. They are arrested, Chair, from UKZN. This coming Thursday and Friday, we will be in UKZN, all the South NEC members. There will be a delegation that will be visiting UKZN to engage the management, particularly on these matters, because it can't be that we allow these things to happen as normal, as if there's nothing wrong that is happening. You might know that some institutions that were on strike, but now the warm up class, UWC, CPUT, it's UOPS, and UJ. The UJ is recently, I think, recently stopped because of Friday. Well, of course, I think what they've raised is that at least there were some agreements that they've reached with their respective management in terms of the issues that they were raising. So I'm told also that the TUT has also started now to go to the street. So that before we go to Devon, I might also have to shift the team that I've deployed to VEST to also go and see and find out what are the major issues that are affecting the TUT students, so that we can be able that we ensure that all our students are in a class and all our students are in a conducive environment. What we've agreed upon, Chair, on this issue of accommodation, we've said, where there are major challenges, where institutions believe that the 45,000 is not working, say, I can tell you for free, there are many people who are prepared to work on this camp. But now, because institutions are colluding with accommodation providers, and now they see this as a regressive approach in terms of, you know, diminishing whatever that they were getting from this provider and all that. So NSFAS has agreed to say, look, they have sent their own team to the ground, and already it has determined the number of beds which are available in these different areas. So I've said, where there is a crisis like that, NSFAS must intervene directly with emergency, where their own particularly funded students are being affected. They must be able to provide solution to their students. Luckily, they have a portal, so meaning that when we have identified those beds, those people must just register, and then the next class funded students are being enrolled and they are taken through. Chair, I will pause there for now, but if my colleagues, I have the DP on the meeting, I have the TG, I have the spokesperson, and also I have the national organizer. Should they want to add anything, I would then give to them to make those additions. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Nobala. Can I check if other colleagues would like to add? Okay. I'm not seeing any hands. All right, there was a request that SRC presidents, that the invite be extended to SRC presidents. Can I check from both structures if that was done?
That was done, Chair, but understanding, you know, SRC is the short notice. They don't look into their emails, even that WhatsApp group. Sometimes, you know, it takes a lot of energy to get them to recognize the things that you post there.
Okay. All right, thank you, Nobala. Honorable members and colleagues, this is then the input that we've received from SATFETSA and SAUS. I'm very concerned about the. Can I please note from members, parents of members would like to engage. I'm very concerned by the suspension of the SRC president at Wits, the arrest of the UKZN students, and the fact that it has been a reality for so long. You know, we've scheduled the department to respond by and large tomorrow, but I would want to know if the department was aware of this. And I'm wondering, President and SG of SAUS, if there are other students who have been suspended. I mean, I know at Wits there are more students who have been, who have received a notice or have been suspended, but I know that there's more than the figure that we have here of the president, because I think this challenge started a couple of days ago when the students started protesting. And at UKZN, if we could have the specific number of students that have been arrested And I think it would be important for the department to bring us into confidence on what has been happened to those students, how far are they, how many are they. I think we just need a proper report on those students that have been arrested at UKZN. But also, I think we need to do greater work on understanding. I mean, UWC was protesting, UP, if I'm not mistaken, UP students were also being threatened with suspension. So I think we just need to do a proper audit of how many students or student leaders may be affected by some sort of intimidation by management. I'm not going to go much into all the other matters for now. I think I'll allow colleagues to go first, and then I'll come in the end. Honorable Mananiso, Honorable Mokale, Honorable Zondo. Honorable Mananiso, Honorable Litie. Honorable Mananiso.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Kindly allow me not to switch on my video. And let me start by actually acknowledging the fact that this is an agent meeting. And indeed, as you alluded on your remarks, we cannot close our eyes when we see that the country is burning. Yet we try to intervene so that we avoid whatever that we are seeing happening in our spaces of peace and sector. Chair, I think let us appreciate the presentations both from Safeta and yourself, and as well acknowledge the fact that they have indicated the work that they have done as leadership. However, one would want to say that indeed there's a need of ensuring that perhaps the civil education in terms of protesting, because some of us have noted what is being said on media by yourself in terms of ensuring that disruptions, they don't actually become a process of criminalities where people just vandalize and do as they wish. And I think there's a need of civil education in terms of actually advocating for peaceful protest that at the end won't cost damage to things that we are witnessing. Chair, my question is with regards to the Saud and Safeta. I just, because of on their presentation, what I like, they have confirmed that they were part of stakeholder engagement consultations organized by NESFAS on the 2023 Bursary Guidelines. How many engagements were held with NESFAS on the 2023 Bursary Guidelines, and did your members attend all these particular engagements? Because one is noting that Safeta, it's indicated that most of the beneficiaries of students, they are not inclined in terms of what it is stipulated on those particular guidelines. And again, I'm happy that they are noting that Sawusi actually has indicated that they are supporting the issue of the cap for 45,000, and of which it's one of the things that we are actually happy about, on the fact that they really understand that particular space, that for the economy status that we are at, we cannot promote corruption and issues that undermine our gains of democracy. So I'm very happy about that issue of them acknowledging and appreciating that the 45,000 cap accommodation fee they are actually supporting. And I'm happy that as well they have indicated what is being said by us as the portfolio committee in terms of collusion of the private accommodation providers and students, and as well an institution. So it is, there's a need that the department move at speed in terms of exposing those actually who want to exploit the student in the name of, you know, affordable accommodation fees and so on. But Chair, one would want to really just ask the department in terms of their intervention from today up until we get this thing of making sure that students are in class. Can they give us specific time frames tomorrow in terms of how far are they with engagement, and give us specific deadline in terms of when exactly will this disruption stops in all our spaces? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mananiso. Honorable Mohal.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to the student leadership that is here, to our colleagues. Chairperson, I know I joined the portfolio committee just recently. However, I was appraised that the committee started the year by visiting all these institutions of higher learning to check on their state of readiness and to see if the academic year is going to proceed without any challenges.
Sorry, Chair, exigency.
Sorry, Honorable Mohale. Apologies, Honorable Mohale. Yes, President.
Yes, we are being escorted here by the campus. And then, sorry, we will be offline. So because Nahau is striking, then they've just arrived, and then there's a serious strike outside.
Okay, is there someone you can hand over to, President?
That will be the Secretary General, Mr. Mkwali.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you very much, President. Apologies, Honorable Mohale, you may continue.
All right. No, it's fine. No, hopefully they are safe there. My point, Chairperson, is that beginning of the year, you went on a visit to all these institutions of higher learning to check on their state of readiness for the 2023 academic year. And some of the reports that I believe was that no, everything is fine and all of that. But here we are now, we are sitting with the student leadership and they are raising all these challenges, and we have seen them over the past couple of weeks with the strikes and all of that. So I don't know really, Chair, if maybe we are, or you were not given a true reflection of what is happening in that in those colleges and universities. You know, what did they lie to us in terms of their state of readiness, where they could not foresee some of the issues that are being raised now, you know. But I want to say that we fully support the issues that are being raised by the student leadership on the issue of the LSFAS cap that should be imposed to ensure that the state is not being sucked or milked dry by these corrupt elements. So we are in full support of that. But again, Chair, well, it's unfortunate that the president of SAFETA just went off, but I wanted to pose a question to him because I had him speak about the rules that were being used or being interpreted in a particular way, but he didn't like really go into details as to what exactly is the issue there, what are those rules. And so I would have loved to get a much more clearer understanding of what is happening with regards to that. But Chairperson, I think really we can't afford to have these issues over and over again. Every year the academic year starts and we know that students are going to be on a strike over issues of LSFAS and so on. So I think that these things need to be addressed permanently and ensure that they don't reoccur. We can't have this kind of things, Chairperson. And also, I think we must condemn the leadership of these universities, the vice chancellors and so on, for the heavy-handedness approach in the way in which they deal with student protests in our campuses. I don't think the issue of bringing police and militarizing the campuses is in any way going to assist us to resolve some of these issues. In any case, what it does is that it inflames the situation even more. So we really need to get answers, Jefferson, from these vice chancellors. If there must be someone, let them be someone, particularly that one of UKZL, who has shut off any means of engagement for the student leadership to engage with him, just resorts to violence and threats and so on. So there must be someone, there must be brought here, they must give answers, Jefferson. We must question them. We must find out exactly why they do the things that they are doing and they are turning our universities into war zones. So that is my input for now, Jefferson. I don't know if you will open later on, but for now, that is my input. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mohale. Honorable Zondo.
Thanks, Chair. Greetings to you, the Chairperson, and the committee members, colleagues. And the delegation from SAUSA, led by the Secretary. I'm sorry, Chair, for my voice. I had a long flu for the past 2 weeks, so, yeah, my voice is not at its position. But we had the presentation from the President and the Secretary, but Chair, I think it's high time that we take serious this thing of the management threatening students whenever they raise concerns, student concerns, in fact, because as student leaders, they don't raise their concerns, they raise student concerns. So, and at some time, they got into a firing line. But I remember the Chair, when we were doing the oversight, I have said this not once, not twice, that management is abusing its power by suppressing student leaders in order to raise views and concerns from the students. And there are many other universities that are not counted in today's presentation. I've commented about this where we're in Mangosuthu University of Technology, that there are students that are suspended and others not suspended, that just been dismissed from the school because of the same thing, that is the strike that happened during the year. So, but I think we need to have a machinery that will work with student formations in terms of trying to help them whenever they raise concerns and trying to work with them so that the management will take serious of the student concern, not to suppress them, not to fire them. And this thing is happening even in Ongoye. That's why I was so surprised, Chair, when we were at the University of Zululand, when we see SRC seeing on the same handbook with the management, but only to find that it's because they were cautioned. If you debate, you dance. So, but does that help the students? No, it does not help. Does it save the purpose? No, it does not save the purpose. So then we need to look at closer to this. And Chair, I just want to urge the committee and colleagues that I think in order to solve this,
We need to put politics aside and face directly with the challenges that are faced with students. I'm happy that most of us in this committee were once former leaders of student movement in universities or institutions. So we know what is happening. We've been there, we've led strikes, and we know what is led, what leads to in fact to take that route to strike. So I think we have to be fair and not to protect our comrades who are leading institutions when they are doing wrongs in the name of the institutions, because we need to take a firm stand in fighting this. One example, one institution will make sure that the management that does this dance, then all the other institutions will try to sort their issues out and make sure that they make sure that the students are heard when they are crying. Lastly, I think we have to be fair, Chair, on the cap of 45,000. In some sense, 45,000 is not enough, not because students, they want to eat money. It's another story about how they drink and how they spend the money that they are given. But in the issue of accommodation, I think on that one alone, we need to be fair. There are places whereby, like in Vets, in some residents, you need 80,000 per year. And then you have 45,000 from NS funds. Then what about this gap? Where do they get this money to bridge this gap? In other places are 60,000, whereas NS funds give 45,000. Then we need to be fair about this, not to politicize it, but to be fair and try to attack a challenge fair and head on. When we need to engage the residents owners, then we need to do that and try to tell them to lower a little bit, but not to just say 45,000 is fine. Whereas it's not fine when you go out there and you find that the challenges there are really, they need our attention and our intervention in terms of to try and mediate the situation and see how to resolve it without being taking sides of like politically. I think for now, Chair, I will stop there. My comment then.
Thank you, Honorable Zondo. Before I note Honorable Itie, I want to just, you know, we had a committee meeting, Honorable Mokgale. When was that meeting where we raised the issue of the cap? I think it was not last week, the week before, when we met with the department and NSFAS. I think members across the board, by and large, maybe Honorable Makesi and King shared a slightly differing view. Maybe Honorable Makesi, I think, shared a slightly differing view. But I think there was an agreement that, or consensus, by and large, that we cannot normalize the rates at which private accommodation service providers, in particular, set on student accommodation. In fact, we even questioned universities themselves that do they have an appreciation of the fact that education is a social good? And if education is a social good, then any other resource that seeks to support education, which is a social good, also becomes a social good. So accommodation is a social good, textbooks are a social good, you can even say transportation itself is a social good. So any other resource that will ultimately support education, which is a social good, is in itself a social good. So what then is the basis on which universities in particular find it okay to, like you said, I think you put a price of 70,000 rand to charge a space that is probably smaller than, I don't know what, Honorable Lucia, you're coming up next, you will assist in terms of, you know, the diameters, the measurements, you know. But ultimately, it's a space, Honorable Zondo, that is not even as big as your room at Acacia Park. It's smaller than your room at Acacia Park. Two students are living in that room. They are all sharing bathrooms. They're all sharing kitchens which have two plate stoves, which we'll have seen during oversight. And then someone wants to go and charge 70,000 rand for students to live in that space. And I think we agreed by and large that that is problematic. I think we agreed by and large, members from across parties, that even when we look at private accommodation, the rate at which an individual will be renting out an apartment that has a bathroom, that has a kitchen, and maybe it's this person alone, in fact, maybe it's two people at max, will still be at a rate much lower than this. And what we then said to NASFAS is that you need to assist us with the research that informs the figure of 45,000 Rand so that we can explain this. And what we also resolved on was that NASFAS must go to the Competition Commission and ensure that we're able to regulate what we are concerned about as price fixing. So that was just the general conversation that took place about 2 weeks ago in this very same portfolio committee. And I think we must really caution ourselves from any nuances that seek to say that there is a particular political posturing of the committee, that the committee is not objective in its work, that the committee puts politics first. I think one of the greatest characteristics of this very portfolio committee is the ability for us to, across political affiliations, always put what is necessary forward, what is important forward, put the interests of students, put the interests of this country forward. So I think I want to protect members from all political parties, from the insinuation by Honorable Zondo that there are certain politics that are put forth. I think as the chairperson, I often listen to what members say. And I mean, I know, for example, Honorable Makesi, in those discussions around the cap, there was a huge sentiment of, let us understand though also why service providers charge the amounts that they charge. So that is a position that the DA would take. And I think it is well captured in the minutes of this committee. And it is something that I'm sure the department and NASFAS will go and consider. But an insinuation, Honorable Itzie, that we put politics, I don't know what you're saying, Honorable Zondo, but I really want to protect all members of this committee across political affiliations from your insinuations. Honorable Itzie.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning to the student leaders from South and South Beza, our staff members. And if there are any SRC leaders who are here, also extend my greetings to them. Chair, I've been struggling a little bit with connectivity. I would also like not to open my video. Like Honorable Zondo, I also have a little bit of flu. So if at any point I cough, please note that it's because of that flu. Like now. Actually, maybe let me start where you ended. I find it problematic that Honorable Zondo suggests that we must have an open-ended budget for student accommodation. For NSFAS students. If providers suggest that the student accommodation is worth 90,000 rand per year, So 9,000 rand per month. We must not question how they got to that figure. At UCT, there's a res that costs 9,000 rand per month in Cape Town. Also in Cape Town, between CPUT and UWC, there's an accommodation that costs 2,800 rand per month in the same city, all in Cape Town, in the city of Cape Town. Some of them cost 4,500 per month. And the suggestion that we must not question that, I think it confuses me. And I think the assumption is that we're only dealing with NSFAS students who are being paid by government and people must keep quiet. We are forgetting that we have self-funded students who are part of the missing meal, who also do not have this money. So this sector not being regulated is problematic in many ways. You spoke about the social responsibility associated with that, which I fully agree with. So we have a problem here, Honorable Zondo, of which I believe 100% that there is collusion here by these private providers to milk, in their view, the state, and no one must ask questions, which can't be right. When we had that meeting with NSFAS, we expressed ourselves in the department. We expressed ourselves. We actually welcomed the suggestion from NSFAS that they must approach with immediate effect the Competition Commission, because some of this student accommodation, in my view, are extremely unnecessarily expensive for anybody to afford. We made an example there. We said, let's go to Bramfontein. There are residential units, flats, two-bedroom flats, where those who are working somewhere there in Bram or whatever, they are renting those two bedrooms. They will be charged 8,000 or 9,000. So two bedrooms, one bathroom, one shower, two toilets, you know, a living room and a kitchen. And not far from that, a student accommodation, far small, for two kids sharing, you want to charge them 6,000 rand each. That room where they're sharing is even smaller than one bedroom of these two bedroom apartments. And we must keep quiet. It must be business as usual. It cannot be. We agreed with the cap, chair of NSFAS. This sector we can't continue having a sector like this of student accommodation that is not regulated. Because this is what happens. You'll have a problem. There is proper colluding against the students, not necessarily government or NSFAS, but against the students. And that's why we said we want NSFAS to approach the Competition Commission with immediate effect, and there must be speedy resolve on this matter. So I don't agree that if student accommodation charges 80,000 in Bram, we are literally saying the student must find that money somewhere. That's not what we are saying. That's not what we're saying. We're saying the Competition Commission must come in here and help these students. Maybe let me leave that part, Jane, and go to what I would have wanted to speak to when I raised my hand. I think we welcome the presentations from the student leaders. Re-emphasize, Chair, what we've always said in this portfolio committee, that student protest we support. If students feel that their issues are not taken to heart or seriously by institutions, they are well within their rights to protest. We've also said, Chair, that we encourage our students that when they protest, they must protest peacefully. And they will have our 200% support when that happens. We've also said they must not resort to playing deity like this university management sometimes, what they do. So they must always have peaceful protests. They must not resort to violent protests, because when that happens, their genuine issue becomes compromised by the violence of this protest. So I want to repeat it, Chair, that I can't support any violent protest anywhere. Just like I can't support the militarization of our institutions by universities, this hardline approach taken by the university management, we must also say that a violent protest will not support. Because when you start doing that, you are even inviting some criminal elements who will come in and join your protests, and some of them are not supporting you, but some of them may have been recruited and paid for by some of these people who are colluding projects there at universities, that they know they are on the panel for 2023. If a library is mysteriously banned, it's them who's going to be called in. So we don't want a situation where the genuine efforts or issues of students are hijacked by those things. We are extremely worried, or I'm extremely worried, Peter DHA, that when a university employee who's in management is accused of something, the university do not act swiftly and quickly in suspending them. Some in our institutions are accused of very bad things, some of them sexual harassment, some of them working with student accommodation providers for money here and there. They are not, the university don't act fast in suspending them. But what if students who are protesting, some of them peaceful, the university has not even taken 3 days. With immediate effect, there's a letter, you're suspended, surrender all university property, what. And I think we must have a serious discussion with the department and you, sir, on this matter, Chairperson. But we can't have this kind of attitude by these universities towards the biggest and the largest stakeholders at this institution, who are the students. But what is them? They are soft on each other. Because these things have been happening in a lot of, in a number of our institutions. And I think it's high time that we have a specific discussion with these people. And we'll bring them examples that in this institution, this person was accused of this, you did nothing. This student at the same institution was accused of this thing, you suspended them. So there seems to be bias towards how students are treated at these institutions. And I think we must have that. The strike of Nehao at our institution's chair, when we're doing oversight, I think in KwaZulu-Natal, when we had an opportunity where the unions were there, we asked them, you know, and this thing has been happening for quite some time. The wage negotiations generally happens around April, May at these institutions with the unions. These people or the unions don't strike when they don't agree at that time. They wait for registration period. We ask them that can they please not disrupt when they don't agree with the universities or institutions, the registration period, because it's one of the most important calendar dates of our institution. We try to ask them, Chairperson. It was as if we knew that this was going to happen. And I think maybe at some point, we must also have a discussion with them. I don't know how, you know, we'll phrase it to them. Because we also don't want to say to them that their issues are not genuine. Because some of their issues may be genuine. You know, there's an institution that presented us, I think it's VUT that presented us with a memorandum from Nehao there that they had staff members who had been part-time for 10 years. You know, so their issues are genuine. But we must find a way to protect the sector by having some concessions to all stakeholders that, you know, even if things are too bad, we can't go out of, you know, let's move within this frame, you know, and let's not go out of it because it will affect teaching and learning. And if it does, it affects the results, the throughput rate, and all of those things. So I think I want to suggest that, well, I don't have specific questions. I think Honorable Mananiso asked the questions that I wanted to ask both Saus and Safeta, that on the cap, how many engagements they had with NSFAS, was there an opportunity for USAF, for NSFAS, Saus, Safeta, the department, and probably student accommodation providers when this thing, because we heard about this thing, Chair, it was on the 23rd of November when NSFAS announced to us in the committee, and they did say that they were busy with engagements with different stakeholders. They had met some, they were meeting others the following day, which was on a Thursday in Johannesburg, I think one of the Masaus on the 24th of November, 2022. So just wanted to check the number of meetings they had and what would have been concerns that were raised at the time in preparation for the 2023 meeting. And I'm not asking this because I believe that the cap is not right. I must put it categorically that I believe the cap is right because, honestly speaking, student accommodation can range from 28,000 to 90,000. Dinaling certain student accommodation, but honestly speaking, so you know, yeah, maybe let me end there, Chair, because I don't want to speak. I think I've labored the point enough. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Boshoff. Honorable Mackenzie had her hand up, but I think maybe she got kicked off the platform and then her hand went down. Honorable Mackenzie, would you still like to come in? Okay. I think she's fine. So I'll go to Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Yes, I also would like to respond on this old question. I'm not a market fundamentalist, but sometimes it's quite useful to look at the analysis of market fundamentalists because it gives some value. And the whole idea of distortion of the market by injecting a huge amount from the state side is what I think we have to do with here, because I think it's quite credible to say that service providers who receive their money from the state through NSFAS, they raise the prices and then they rely on students to protest, because if you are qualified for NSFAS, then clearly you don't have the money to pay these huge extra amounts for accommodation, because if you could have paid that, then you wouldn't have qualified for NSFAS in the first place. So they raise the prices unfairly, or they exaggerate the prices. The students protest, and then they get what they want. So it's clearly not a solution to say whatever the market price for accommodation is should be paid by NSFAS, because then it will inflate indefinitely. So it's necessary to have a cap and to stick to that cap, and that service providers should learn that if they can't deliver within that cap, given that the cap is calculated in a fair way, that we don't work with the cap of 5 years ago and say it should still be the same. But I don't think that's where we are. And the market is already distorted by the injection of NSFAS. And if we insist on increasing the cap, then the market is distorted even more. Regarding the protests, I must say that the academic tradition that I come from, we don't do protests like this. It's something that students who typically vote for the Freedom Front just shake their heads about. It's whether they can afford or not, cannot afford. It's unbelievable. We regard academic institutions, I don't want to say sacred, because that gives a kind of a religious aid to it, and that's what I would like to do. But it's the whole idea of, yes, protest is fine, it just must not become violent. I think it's a cultural difference, which I still find hard to bridge. But that is just in my own perception, and that doesn't have meaning for anybody else. It's just mentioning that.
But what I also want to say... Sorry, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Mokale.
No, Mala, I take exception to what this man is saying. He can't say it's a cultural difference. What is he trying to say? Is he saying it's a black thing? Is he saying protest? White people don't protest. They were banning government property there in Senegal. Your white people, they were banning stuff there in Senegal there. What is he trying to say, Chebese?
No, Mokale. All right. That's I don't know if it's a point of order or... But Honorable Foshoff and Honorable Mohale, maybe one I should, the sound that's coming out, okay, I think it's from that other mic. Honorable Foshoff, maybe you should explain to Honorable Mohale what perhaps you mean by that, so that we ensure that we are not offending members on the platform. And I see Honorable Zondo has also put his hand up again. And I don't know if Honorable Zondo also has to perhaps clarify what he meant to say earlier on, because I took exception as well to what he was insinuating. Honorable Poshoff?
Yeah, it's not a racial thing. I'm talking about an academic culture. And it's nothing about race. It's the way in which the academic project is approached. But what I actually want to say is that I don't think that we could really proceed indefinitely by saying that higher education can be free altogether. I understand that while studying, one doesn't have the means to pay at that stage, and one comes from a background where you don't have parents or family or banks who wants to sponsor you or give you loans or whatever. But I repeat what we have said before, that once a student is registered for NISFA, that student should also come on the database of SARS for the pay-as-you-earn system. And when that person starts earning, should repay at least a portion and on a sliding scale for the interest rate of the loan which has been granted, because that would replenish the funds which will be available to be lent to future students, because we are always going to have more students. And in that sense, I think the expectation that studying can be funded, fully funded, even when 2 years have to be repeated or carried over. And there's no compulsion to pay back in any way. I don't think it's feasible in the long term. But coming back to the culture, I think maybe yourself, and I don't know what Honorable Zondo wanted to say, and Honorable Mohale, maybe you misunderstood me. There are different academic cultures all over the world, and I was referring to the way in which I studied about 30 years ago, where something like, running in the streets and even becoming violent, that was not something which was on. It's a kind of an academic culture which I don't think has anything to do with race. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Boschoff. Honorable Zondo, I see your hand has come up again.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe firstly, I raised my hand when you were talking, and let's see, come again on the same issues that I raised. Firstly, maybe if I've had in the manner that you have said, Chair, I withdraw that so that I won't be seen as I didn't mean to attack any members of the committee in that, but it was just a caution that in some other universities or institutions, you find that management do as they like, because they know that they are connected, or but it was not meant that there are instances whereby you as chair and the committee did things that favor some of the institutions or part of the management because they are comrades. I just wanted to withdraw that. And the second thing, I think because we are using the language that is not our home language. But when I was saying, I think we need to try a mediating factor in trying to resolve these issues, because they are raised in many instances. So I heard that Lithia thought that I'm saying that whenever it's 70,000 or 80,000, then the NSFAS should pay that. But I think as department, as the committee, we should try and get some regulation or enforce some regulation that will regulate the approval of the student residence and its cap, you know, so that, as Lizzie was saying, that you find that a small room costs 6,000 for one person, and you find that they are sharing, and both students are paying 6,000. That means that small room, now the owner gets 12,000 of that room. So I think some regulations will help to pass. I have the knowledge that residents will get approval from the institutions. And as far as there's that thing that institutions have had to approve the residents, that this residence is in a condition that is acceptable to NSFAS and the institution. I think it has to cover the part of the money to be paid by students. But if the size of the residence is like this, then the price should not exceed this or be less than this, so that you will be able to keep this under control. Because, yes, indeed, we cannot pay whatever money that the owners of the residency ask, but we need to try and mediate and come up with solutions and try to enforce that they don't collude with management. Because it is alleged that there are collusion. They are colluding in terms of the price, and there are monies that are paid to some management staff in order to approve the residence to be what it is, and to approve that student pay that money, and they have the percentage in that allowance. So I wanted to put that into context here, and withdrawing any statement that I may be out of line with, trying to maybe to attack. No, I mean, that was not the intention, but I was trying to say that we should work together and make sure that we avoid to be misused by anyhow by the institutions in abusing students in their institutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zondo. I see, Honorable Lithia, you've lowered your hand. I hope you're fine. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, for your comments by and large, because I think maybe Honorable Mananiso is the one who had one question. From my side, I really need SALS to send something in writing by the end of today, preferably, because you see, our concerns are we want to have a proper account by students on what the issues are, so that when we are trying to raise these concerns on behalf of students with management and with the department tomorrow, then we are able to bridge those gaps a bit better. Colleagues would be aware that we are an oversight structure, and so when we see students protest, we will be concerned. And Honorable Mohale, you're correct. It is concerning, and I want to highlight Capricorn in particular. Now I'm even told Eteguini is also protesting. But these are institutions that we visited. Now when I for example look into Capricorn, we did not, to be honest, DJ Zungu might not be on the platform anymore, but I think Mr. Sonti is on the platform. We were surprised. I am surprised that Capricorn is protesting particularly the Seshego campus, and to the extent of which it's protesting at. And the spreadsheet here by Safetsa does not necessarily unpack what is the cause of the under incidents to be reported. You don't really unpack on what is the cause of the protest at Seshego, but do explain that teaching and learning is continuing, but with poor attendance. But you know, I think we'll have to enrich the reasons. I mean, of course, there is what the media has articulated, but for us, it really will aid us, SG, for us to have the actual reasoning in order for us to be able to hold the department to account and what interventions are being put in place, right? So I am shook, Honorable Mogale, that Capricorn is protesting. Now, also Etegwini, we did get a sense of disjuncture between stakeholders. So we were concerned, and there was a recommendation made by the committee to say, can you please meet our stakeholders and be able to find one another as you attempt to successfully start the academic year 2023. I don't see Umfolozi on the spreadsheet of Satfetsa, unless Mr. Sonti, my information is incorrect in terms of Umfolozi protesting, but I thought there was some sort of unrest there at the beginning of the year. If I can just check my notes here. Yeah. Esikaleni, which I believe is a campus of Umfolozi, if I'm not mistaken. I stand to be corrected by colleagues. But our understanding there is that there was also protest there. So we'd also want to know what is the current state of protest there from a student perspective, so that we're able to cross-reference that information with what the department will share with us. So yes, Honorable Mogale, it does become concerning that there's a disjuncture between what we witness and what then later happens. But in some cases, there has been, not that it makes sense, but there were concerns.
Yes,
Honorable Zondo.
Yeah, I wanted to assure you that it's a Skawini College, and there was a strike, a heavy strike during the beginning of the year. I think it's February.
So it is Skawini, right?
I don't know why they changed the name to Skalini, but it's a major name, Skalini, but the college is Skawini as for now.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought we knew it as, where we went and visited during our oversight. Thank you, Honorable Zondo. So we went to Umfolozi, and we did see, Honorable Members, at this juncture between the stakeholders there. So I don't want to use and there was a concern raised at that time around water provision. And this is where we felt it was important for us to ensure that there is representation from provincial legislature or even local government. And I think Honorable Zondo, in fact, there was a colleague that was with us as per your invite during the oversight from council, right? So that was all in an attempt to be able to bridge the gap between services that are not necessarily managed or administered by DHET, but have a direct consequence on the PSET system. And so in other cases, we are surprised, or rather we did not expect these protests, but in other cases, we recommended that stakeholders work together. We recommended that there must be intervention from local council or from provincial government in order for us to overcome some of these challenges and trying to ensure a more successful start to the academic year 2023. A lot of what members are speaking to in relation to the relationship between students and management goes back to a conversation that the committee had last year around institutional autonomy and its relationship with cooperative governance. The fact that university management seems to not appreciate the voice of students, the voice of workers, the voice of the committee, the voice of government, you know, the voice of the community that they exist within. In appreciating the fact that they are public institutions, and therefore, no matter how, you know, others may want to argue that we don't get enough money from government, you know, we can't be told. But even if we're giving 1 cent, and we're not giving 1 cent to the system, but even if we were giving 1 cent, they would still remain public institutions, and therefore they would have to adhere to cooperative governance. And we, in a committee meeting, I think the previous year, not 2022, 2021, the end of 2021, we had a meeting with with SAPS, with the police, as well as with CETAS, responsible for security. And we raised this concern on protest protocols or protest policy, or, you know, and there was quite a massive conversation that we had to say, we need to put up systems. I think Dr. Lewin on the platform, DDG, Marsha, Sotswik was on the platform. We've said that we need to put in systems, policies, protocols that across the spectrum will guide how we ought to interact with student protests or interact with protests in general on campuses. What is the protest policy? And so that also students understand what rules and processes they are meant to follow. So that it's clear that it doesn't depend, which in Namhlanje, okay, let me monitor, now I feel like they're irritating me, now let me bring in police, or now let me bring in bouncers. And it's not a wishy-washy thing that depends on which VC is there at that point in time and whether or not that VC has the skill to negotiate conflict or mediate and resolve on conflict. It has to be something that is systematized, right? There must be a system that's put in place. So we've spoken about this, and we thought that it's the department that must try and influence some sort of protocol that can be followed across the spectrum. On the matter of bouncers, they are, can we please make sure that our devices are muted? On the issue of bouncers, for example, we've been questioning why we're bringing in private security on campus, because private security has no appreciation of the institutional culture. You cannot hold them to account. I mean, there have been reports in various campuses that these people don't even have badges on. We all know that even as a country, right, you are well within your right as a citizen of, the, of this country to ask for the name, and in fact, you'll see the badge. You must be at all times be able to see the badge of a police officer so that if anything were to go wrong, you are able to, as a citizen, say, this police officer mishandled me, mistreated me, did not follow due process, whatever it is. So if that is the protocol we follow, Mr. Mukwena, if you can please make sure your device is muted. So if that is the protocol that we follow on a national level with our colleagues, can SG of Safeta please make sure Mr. Mukwena switches his device, or if the device interrupts the meeting again, we will have to remove the device from the platform. So if that is the type of protocol that is followed on a national level, that ought to also happen, through the police service, that should also be happening with an ordinary security on campus. And I don't even want to say that bouncers should, because private security shouldn't be, our view is that private security should not have to be on campus unless there's some immense, state of emergency that our internal security cannot manage. And I often feel that management brings in support, security support, that's what they want to call it, way too early, before they've gone through enough measures of negotiation, of mediation, and that does not help the system. You know, and so DDG, so Tsikwa, as we go into tomorrow's conversation, together we're hoping USAF will avail themselves, because we know that we've had to send these invites to the sector quite promptly because of the fact that we are worried as a committee. We've given colleagues space and time to do their work, and matters are not being resolved. Yet we were brought into confidence that we should have a much better start to the academic year than we've had in the past. And there was a general feeling in the sector that we are getting somewhere in terms of having a better start to the academic year. But I'm tempted, honorable members, to say we've moved back this year. I really feel that when I try and compare the start of last year and the start of this year, there has been some regress in this year. Colleagues, we are hoping that NSFAS had shared with us 2 weeks ago that they are trying to find a way to alleviate the pressures that the cap has put on the system. And I am glad that South is very resolute on their position to say we support the cap. I don't believe we should be having a challenge with universities, honestly. Universities are part of government. They are part of us. They are within the system. They are public institutions. I don't believe we should be having a challenge of universities that don't want to adhere to the 45,000 rand cap. And it should, and I'm glad that South is resolute on that position, particularly because NSFAS has informed the committee that they did consult with USAF on this cap last year. Where perhaps we believe we should be having a challenge is with private accommodation service providers, because they are bigger. I'm not sure. Yes, NSFAS says that they did consult a particular structure that represents private sector, but I'm not sure to what extent. What is the reach that NSFAS could have had in terms of private sector? So there, the communication has had to be beefed up. The lobbying has to be beefed up. The consultation has to be beefed up. There needs to be a whole lot more engagement. And what we were told by NSFAS 2 weeks ago is that they were trying to look into service, were encouraging service providers who want to adhere to the 45,000 rand cap to come on board, to use the NSFAS accommodation portal, and indicate their interest to be able to provide the kind of support that the system needs in terms of student accommodation, particularly for students who are covered by NSFAS. I then want to really appreciate what Honorable Izier has said in terms of how management, it's interesting how lots of cases will be brought to the committee of senior managers in universities, deputy vice chancellors, vice chancellors, various staff, lots of cases will be brought to our attention. But the system is never as rapid in dealing with those cases. People go through disciplinary hearings. It just takes forever. There's not enough evidence. And a lot happens before we are able to take decisive action in terms of consequence management. However, we are very fast to do the very same when it comes to students who are protesting out of their frustrations. And that for us is a concern, because it just does not inspire confidence in terms of a willingness to work with stakeholders and to find one another. South, I would appreciate I have listed institutions that we are concerned about and where we would really want the student narrative to come forth. UKZN and the reasons why UKZN is protesting, clarity on the students there who are arrested and, you know, that type of information. WITS, where we now with WITS, the issues of the students that are suspended. UP, another matter that has been concerning me, honorable members, is that just because an institution is no longer protesting does not mean that the issues at the institution have been resolved. And that's what we must be very wary of, that, you know, we must not overlook institutions that they protested, there's no more protest. Because when you look at, for example, Safeta's input, when you look at the last column, matter resolved, yes or no, even though they would have shared with us an intervention, but they clearly indicate whether or not that intervention has resulted in a resolve of the issue. And so that must be acknowledged and appreciated. So let us make sure that we do look into institutions like, for example, CPUT and UWC, where there was an issue on student accommodation. It was even said that there are students who are sleeping in halls, there are students, and the SRC was, and I think various student formations were attempting to assist those students. Where are we now with that? Has there been a sustainable intervention put in place? Still in Bosch, I think there was a similar situation. For Blyke University, there were also protests there. Had they been resolved? Has teaching and learning been able to commence successfully? And I think also being able to monitor the numbers, right? So knowing that, no, now we are at zero. So at some point there were 500 students who had not registered. Now we have all students registered and teaching and learning has started. Because our inability to close issues, we don't close issues in the sector. And then the issues linger and then we find ourselves with reoccurring protests. And even students who have, you know, when I think of NASPET, for example, there are so many cases with NASPET that we were not able to assist students to resolve, right? To the extent of which now students have debt. So had we assisted, so students have debt, yeah. And now they want to, for example, they've applied for NASPET for this year, but they have debt from the previous year. Now they can't register because of that debt. But now they do have funding for this year. And so this child is in a deadlock. Or there can be a case of a student who applied for NASPET and didn't know that they can actually reapply. And therefore this year they would actually have funding because their appeal was not closed. So there's so many issues in the sector that we don't close off. We think that when the noise has died down, then the matter, okay, let's move on to the next one. But these matters either catch up with us as a sector or catch up with the student. And that's really unfortunate. UniZulu as well, I believe there was some challenge there at some point. If they are no longer protesting, does that guarantee us that the issues there were resolved? NMU and the University of Johannesburg as well. These are just but a few that I've noted on my side. There might be others that I've left out, but we would appreciate for SG, I'm not putting pressure on you, but we'd really appreciate by the end of today for us to have a bit more information in that regard. But also the clarity from SALS, you say that there's a figure that you quoted on students that could have been affected by the progression rule. If you can just clarify that figure so that we are more precise in our understanding. So I'd like to understand how many campuses are part of KSD. Maybe the department can help here, but how many campuses are part of KSD? Because I'm trying to understand in the entire institution, if there are two campuses that it seems there's no teaching and learning, according to what according to the template that Fatbeta has shared with us, that would be two campuses out of how many campuses? Yeah, I think I'll leave it at that for now, but it would also be important for us to share the presentation of SACHPESA with the TVET program or the TVET branch, so that as colleagues prepare to brief us tomorrow, they at least also have the information that students have shared with us as part of the concerns that we have also as a committee. But I'd like to leave it at that, and maybe at this point appreciate the information that students have shared with us and really express our concerns as a committee on these ongoing issues. We know that there's the one part that speaks to access, where we have been requesting as the committee the report on the ministerial task team on student funding, hoping that the report will give us recommendations that can look into sustainable funding for the PSET sector to ensure access to teaching and learning for particularly the working class and the missing middle through free education. And so we've been hoping and waiting. Well, we've been waiting for this ministerial task team report. It was scheduled for last year, towards the end of the year. We were told that it has not gone to Cabinet has said that there must be further stakeholder engagement on the report. We were told that it would be ready for us in this first term, because it should have gone to Cabinet beginning of this year. We've again been requested to move the briefing to the second term, as it hasn't gone to Cabinet as yet. But that's the information that we have. And so this is of great concern to us as a committee, because in terms of access to teaching and learning, we are really hoping that this report will come out with recommendations that can speak to increasing the cap of 350, 1,000 rands per household, to 450, to 500, to 600, as South has demanded over the years, to say, in fact, the cap should be 600,000 rand per household and not 350. But what is the plan towards that? And that is what we are hoping the ministerial task team on student funding report can speak to. But there's also the elements of infrastructure. And there on infrastructure, ensuring that we have enough lecture halls, ensuring that we have enough workshops for TVET colleges, working towards, and here we're not speaking about the CET program, but the CET program, which we are hoping there should be articulation into the TVET program or even into the university program by that particular student. And if we want that particular articulation from the CET to the TVET or to the university, we need to ensure that the system is able to capture those young people. When we look at the amount of applications to the TVET program and the spaces in the TVET program, there's clearly a need for greater resource. And I don't know in terms of, what the ministerial task team was looking at, because student funding is one element, but funding the sector is a whole other conversation, because funding the sector says, once we have ensured that the student has funding, they must have a bed, they must be able to go into a workshop that has enough capacity, they must be able to be taught by lecture enough, there must be sufficient lecturers for the sector. So we need to look at a holistic, sustainable funding for the sector, and hopefully the report can also speak to that. But in the meantime, the committee has even said, look, public works, how many buildings do you have that are not utilized, that are close to our institutions, that can alleviate this pressure? Because that is also part of ensuring access to the sector. But so we are aware of those. President or SG, I'm not sure who's excusing themselves. We're going to hand over to you now to make your closing remarks. So sorry, I'm wrapping up. But we are aware of those overarching sectoral issues. But there are also these issues that are campus-based. There are issues that just speak to NASA's being able to run its administration successfully now. Yes, we are on the 350, And on the 350, we must be able to efficiently administer NASFAS, right? So with the current cohort that we are able to cover, NASFAS must be able to efficiently administer itself. So appeals must be done efficiently, allocations must be done efficiently, but that also speaks to management of these institutions. They must send the registration data on time so that allowances can be sent on time. You know, it speaks to DBE. DBE must resolve its, must release its results on time. So it speaks to better coordination and administration and management within the entire education system, in fact. And when the president of SAFETA says the misinterpretation of guidelines, those are matters that shouldn't be there. Right, those are matters that we should be able to address, and that is what we are hoping in the immediate we can be able to give recommendations on as we work on addressing the bigger sectoral issues that speak to policy and budget and so forth. Let me hand over then to the colleagues from SAUS. Well, perhaps let me check from the department before I hand over to SAUS and SAFETA, because this is a meeting between SAUS, SAFETA and ourselves. But let me hand over to the department if there are any DDGs or colleagues from the various branches who would like to say a thing or two, noting that, of course, tomorrow we will be having a more in-depth meeting with yourselves. But can I check if there's any colleagues who would like to say anything? DDG Sotwikwa, Dr. Luan, Sonti, any remarks, colleagues?
Thank you, Chair. We will provide a detailed submission tomorrow. I think we've heard the different views from the student representatives. We've heard views from members, the honourable members in the room, and we'll provide a detailed submission in our presentation tomorrow. Thank you, Chair. But we really do appreciate that we're invited to this meeting and that we were able to hear what the students are saying too. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Diti Sotwikwa. Mr. Sonti?
Thank you so much, Chair. Also, Chair, we will present tomorrow. However, Chair, I think it's important that we must highlight that we are working very closely with SAFETA and our SRCs to try and resolve some of the issues that we have. Also, Chair, to respond to one of the questions that you raised regarding Iskaweni, we can safely say there's no longer protested. A matter of water was resolved, Chair. The municipality was the one that was having water shortages. So now extra water tankers were then procured by the college, and the municipality is even going as far as to try and assist with the boreholes to resolve the issue of that campus permanently. With regards to Sesheho, for instance, as we speak now, the college management is currently busy with the SRCs in a meeting, but the issue there is also around allowances, the allowances from the last semester that were not paid, and they saying it's outstanding allowances, but we'll also get a report from them in terms of how that meeting ends. But we are working very closely with SAFETA in all these matters that they have raised. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sonti. Thank you very much, DDG Sotwikwa and Mr. Sonti. We will await a full-on briefing by yourselves together with NASFAS, USAF and SAPCO in tomorrow's meeting. I'd like to then hand over to colleagues from SAUS for any closing remarks from yourselves, and then I'll hand over to colleagues from SAFETA. SAUS?
No, thanks, Chair. I think firstly, let's appreciate the opportunity that you have given us. We really want to commend the work that the portfolio committee is doing. Because each and every time when there are issues, you don't wait up until the last minute. But even if it's in a very short period of time, but you call us and hear from us in terms of what is happening in the sector. We really appreciate that. To us, it means a lot that if, as the portfolio committee, indeed, you have, you know, what it takes for that portfolio committee to try to resolve the issues that are faced by the sector. But maybe as I do my closing remarks, Chair, on a very high level, in some of the questions that were asked by the honorable members, Chair, I must say that around the issue of the consultation, particularly on the issue of the accommodation cap, as Honorable CS asked, to be honest, in the engagement that we had with USAF, even though the VCs were not blunt in saying that they were rejected, but the concerns that they were raising, of course, the concerns that at the very same time they were not able to articulate, because what we wanted to understand is exactly the example that Honorable Litsie has given about the city of Cape Town, that how do we justify this variation of cost in the institutions where they exist in one city? So what is the justification of this? We gave them a number of examples, but the only clear answer that we could get was the issue of the cost of property and whatnot. Some of us are not in the property space, so we were not really, you know, interested in that discussion, because I think what we were raising at a very basic level was to understand what makes the cost to be too different, in institutions where they exist in one city. But also, I think I want to agree with the portfolio committee chair that university officials, particularly senior officials, who are abusing their power, must be condemned in the very strongest terms, because what they do is not, they don't want to be held accountable. When student leaders are trying to hold them accountable, they use their powers in terms of, you know, frustrating them and doing all these funny things. I'm saying I want to agree with the colleagues from the portfolio committee that indeed, if we can have your support on this one, not only your support, here we also need the voice of the department, because that department must be, take a leadership role when it comes to coordinating the sector, particularly on this matter. Because when students are raising these issues, they are not sleeping and then waking up, they decide that there are challenges. No. And these issues that some of them were raised even before the end of the year, that look, what could you inform might be a problem? Let's start negotiating through the registration committees which were established. But what institutions are doing, they tend not to take those registration committees seriously. And then come January, they want to be arrogant and they want to implement things that are going to disadvantage students. And lastly, Chair, before I close, on the issue of the union, I would implore if the portfolio committee can really have a word with Nehao. Nehao, the struggle of the workers are intertwined with the struggle of students. But I want to agree with Honorable here. It can be then done in a way that, you know, is going to disadvantage the other. And not to say the concerns that are being raised are not genuine. I fully agree with that. But there ought to be a conversation so that we try to align ourselves so that if they need a support, for instance, by the time they go for the wage negotiations in terms of when they deadlock, they say, we need the support in these particular instances. These are our issues. And then that should be the conversation. But now to want to have a strike around January, it really defeats the purpose and it causes the very unnecessary chaos. But the last one, Chair, on the progression rule, the number of the affected students. This is the rough number that we have given you, Chair, based on the based on the you know, when this thing came up, we said to SRC, based on the students that are affected, they must give us a rough estimate around this. And then NSFAS is trying to give us, is trying to finalize a list. That's what we've requested from them yesterday, to say we want, you know, we want a figure that we know that this is the number of the students that have been affected by this provision rule. Because as far as we're concerned, this should be resolved before the end of this week. For everyone that has been affected by this, before Friday, they should be resolved. And they should be able to be back on the funded list as far as the NSFAS is concerned. So I'm not sure, Chair, but I think I would like to thank you once again. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much to the SG of SAUS together with the team. Once SG has spoken, I don't think SG or President has spoken, I don't think anyone else usually comes in. So I'm really hoping that that all colleagues from SAUS have been covered. If not, I hope that you will be able to strengthen the document that the committee expects to receive by the end of today. Thank you so much to colleagues from SAUS. Colleagues from Sashfetsa, Nopala?
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity and the invite to this committee. We really appreciate it. I just want to clarify one thing, Chair, on the report. Mandeni campus is under Umfolozi TVET College. However, we have also received an invite from the office of the principal at Umfolozi to join them on the meeting today with the SRC members and try to solve issues on the strikes that are at Mandeni campus. Thanks to Mr. Sondi for clarifying the issue of Eskawini. We are really working close with the regional office and the DHT branch to try to resolve all these issues. We will continue to work hand in hand with them. We know that we are still new at the office, but they are making our work very easy with the assistance. Thanks a lot, Chair.
Thank you very much, Nopala. Colleagues, you know, what my concern becomes, right, is that all the work that we are doing at a national level, so the work we do as a committee with the department and the various stakeholders, the work that South Safeta does with the department, the work NSFAS and the department does, the meetings USAF has with the department, the meetings that SAPCO has with the department and the students, and so whatever we are doing at a national level is good, right? My biggest concern is always the translation of our work to the realities on the ground. And a clear example of this is NSFAS. You know, when you are dealing with the cases that are coming in from students, as a member, you will be so frustrated. And then you'll go to NSFAS and you'll ask questions and you say, oh, okay, I think I hear you. Now, I always say that NSFAS therefore needs to strengthen its communication to citizens. We need to get to a point where ordinary citizens, not even students, ordinary citizens understand what NSFAS is doing, right? And that for me speaks to the issue of the translation of our work, the translation of our high-level stakeholder relations, the meetings that we have, the recommendations that we make, the translation of that to the experience of the student on the ground, to the experience of the worker on the ground, to the experience of the sector. It becomes so frustrating, you know. And so I think that's perhaps the question that one wants to leave with everyone this morning, as you know, as we go into tomorrow's meeting, is that all this work that we continuously do, this coordination that, you know, Nopala Mkwali is expressing here, the engagements that SAUS was expressing, the many meetings we've been having, and the translation of that to the lived reality on the ground. Something has got to give. You know, Honorable Yabo is not in the meeting today. He's with Basic Education. He's with the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. But he always emphasizes the fact that it's really unfortunate that we are not the people in the NASFAS offices who must process, you know, that communique that will say the student must is missing supporting documents. You know, we are not the individual in the registration office of whatever institution that is not sending the data to NASFAS. We are not those people. And so how do we translate the urgency that we want to the people who are working in the offices? Because that's also part of it, right? And that's where we really want to see principles and values of Batupili come forth, where officials and, you know, where public servants, administrators, you know, also contribute to this work that we are doing, where we all contribute to this work that we are doing in wanting to see young people in this country or citizens of this country have access to our institutions and are successful in our institutions in ensuring that they have the requisite skills and knowledge to be active participants of our economy, and ensuring that we can better their livelihoods and contribute to the self-liberation of our people. So that's the question, colleagues, the impact of the conversations that we're having, the impact of the recommendations that we're making. Thank you very much to all colleagues from SAUSE and SAPETSA. Again, wishing the leadership of SAPETSA all the best with their term and congratulating them, of course, and we look forward to working with you. To honorable members, we'll see each other tomorrow. We will be getting a briefing from the department as a continuation from this meeting, but also for them to share with us what they've done. And we're hoping that the department will be able to ensure that the various stakeholders are present, USAF, SABCO. We've also sent letters to them as a committee, but it would really be great if the department can also ensure that they are there. NASFAS. We were doing so well. There was going to be no need for us to remove you from the platform, please. So if you can assist in ensuring that those stakeholders are there, because we don't want to be speaking past one another, honestly, colleagues. That will be us tomorrow, honorable members and colleagues. And thank you very much. This meeting has come to an end. Thank you.
We note your new hairstyle, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
No problem. I can also have hair as a problem.
Living in Namokwane.
Recording stopped.